Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
Round 10 of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America Championship about to get underway. Second race of the weekend from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Truly a gem of a racetrack. So much history here. And for this one-make series of exotic machinery, it is the perfect place. Still two rounds to go after we leave WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, but those races will be in Misano, Italy. Where is WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca if you've not been here before? About an hour and a half to 2 hours south of San Francisco, 2.23 miles around the dry lake bed, Laguna Seca, and some great places to pass, great history here. The Andretti Hairpin, the Ray Hall Straight, Rainy Curve, those passes, heavy braking down in turn two. You might get one done in turn six. The infamous corkscrew up into turn eight and 8A, and then a 10-story drop back down to heavy braking for turn 11, and that completes a lap at this famed racetrack. Before we get to round 10, we should take you back to round nine and how all of that played out, and it was exciting from the get-go. Lap one, it all got going. Richard Antonucci from the pole, a familiar place in his number 27, racing side by side with Kyle Marcelli down into turn one. And then this incident, the 47, Mark Kwame in to the side of the number 33 of John Hennessy. And Kwame will get a penalty for that drive-through penalty. And then a problem for the 61 as well. Max Wearing tries to get inside of the 53 of Jordan Missig, gets pinched off, has a problem. And he spins, is in the gravel. But in the end, Mark Collins, Michael Minella in the number four take their first win in LB Cup. The 23, Luke Berkeley, the 17-year-old, his third win of the season in AM. Brandon Godovic takes their fifth win in the number 46. And for Richard Antonucci, he extends his championship lead by a few points over Stephen McAleer with the fifth win of the season in his number 27, Bitbull Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Brian Till, along with Jeremy Shaw. And Jeremy, always a pleasure to be here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
Well, it really is, particularly when the sun is shining like this. Relatively cool conditions this morning, but the sun is shining brightly. And I think conditions should be very, very conducive for some fast lap times today. I'm looking forward to another exciting race for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America.
Well, and we saw all that contact in the first lap, Jeremy. So a lot of these guys, at least four or five cars, had significant damage that they had to repair overnight. When you're a driver about to head out in kind of an unknown commodity, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, it's certainly, there's certainly some question marks there. No warm-up session this morning to feel what that car is going to be today during a race. So this is it now on the parade lap. There's another car that's also didn't take part in yesterday's race. The car number 51 for MCR Racing. Claude Senioretti had a big crash in the qualifying session yesterday, didn't even take part in the first race, but a lot of work overnight has got that car ready for the race. Let's look at the starting lineup. There'll be 25 cars in this race. Alan Metney will not be starting this race today because he's off to Indianapolis, where he's racing a Porsche in chase of another championship there. So 25 cars, 9 pro cars, 5 pro ams, 4 ams and 7 LB cups. At the back is Loris Spinelli, starting that number 51 car, repaired from yesterday. Row 24 is car number 48, Alec Udell, alongside Sergio Jimenez in car number 44. Those two both had mechanical problems in qualifying yesterday for this event. Scott Schmidt will start car number 38 from 22nd position alongside Tom Kerr. Scott Wellham and Mac Dickin on row 10, Ophir Levy and Bart Collins in car number 4 in row 8. Terry Olsen, the championship leader in LB Cup, will start in the 16th position alongside Radley Solari in car number 03. The pole sitter in LB Cup, John Hennessy in car number 33, will start 14th alongside Victor Gomez in car number 29. Two AM contenders on row 6 of the grid, Ashton Harrison in car number 25, Luke Berkeley in car number 23, who won this class yesterday. Jordan Missick will start 10th in 53 alongside Max Wearing in car number 61. Jerome Moule also from Holland in car number 16. It will start in the 8th position alongside the Pro-Am championship leader is Brandon Kudovic in car number 46. Nelson Piquet Jr. will start in the 6th position in car number 3 alongside Dario Capitano in number 22. The Pro-Am pole sitter, an excellent qualifying run considering he had very few laps in this car prior to qualifying, is the car number 8 for Ogara Motorsports. It's Patrick Liddy. Alongside him is Jacob Edson in car number 6 on the front row. Yesterday's race winner and championship leader, Richard Antonucci in car number 27. But on the pole position, for the first time earned in car number 1 for Wayne Taylor Racing, is Danny Formal.
And here we go, Jeremy. It's the same front row as yesterday, just opposite, because the one on the pole is on the pole yesterday. Three flag waves. We're racing round 10, the last race of 2021 on the North American continent for Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. They'll move to the world finals in the final two rounds in Misano, Italy. And right now, Antonucci wide in the Andretti hairpin. Four wheels off, keeps it going in the right direction, back on track, but that cost him several positions.
It did. It cost him at least one position there. So Jacob Edson up into second place there behind Danny Formal. A perfect start from the young Costa Rican. Relatively inexperienced in car racing. This is really just his third season of car racing, but did a massively experience in karting before that. One of the most successful go-kart drivers in the North American continent for many, many years. And he leads this race now in car number 1 for Wayne Taylor Racing.
It's going to take several corners to get those Pirelli tires cleaned of the dust that Richard Antonucci picked up. The good thing is the tires were relatively cold, so they weren't real sticky. They probably didn't grab a lot of it. These tires need to get up to temperature. We saw that in the early going yesterday when Max Wearing got up on a curb. The car jumped in the air, and when it came down, it literally pulled the tire off the rim. It takes several laps to get pressure in these tires, and that pressure helps support not only the car, but it helps keep the tire on the rim. Antonucci back to third, and that puts Formal out in front.
And a good first lap then for Danny Formal. He leads this race pretty comfortably there. Relatively comfortable. So 5 or 6 car lengths over Jacob Edson. Richard Antonucci settling into third position ahead of that red car. That's Nelson Piquet Jr., son of the 3-time Formula One world champion. Yes, the same Nelson Piquet. But this is his son, Nelson Jr., who is gaining experience in these cars. He's driven just about everything in his career, all the way up to and including Formula One over the years. But Nelson driving for that little Ansett Motorsports team based in South Florida, but he's gradually gaining pace. There was an incident there for Scott Wellham off the track at the Mario Andretti hairpin.
Yeah, I know there was another car involved down there in the Andretti hairpin with Wellham. You look back and he spins on the way in. And I think the other car that was involved went wide to avoid. You see that cloud, and you don't know where the problem is in that cloud of dust. Those two other cars a little bit wide. Scott Wellham back on track. I think he may have a tire down in the back. The right rear looks like it could be down, Jeremy.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And maybe again, oops, there's another mistake. That's car number 31, I believe. That's Ophir Levy, who was riding down in the 22nd position. Looks like he's had an off as well. Is that turn 6?
And it cannot even begin to describe what a handful these cars are. Traction control, anti-lock braking systems, that's all well and good, but a lot of horsepower in the back, and you've got to, we were just saying it, you've got to let these Pirelli tires come to you. You can't get too greedy too soon. And the problem right now for a lot of these drivers now entering the Andretti hairpin is the dirt that was brought onto the racetrack by Scott Wellham when he had that spin down there. So cars tiptoeing through the Andretti hairpin right now. Danny Formal trying to tiptoe away, but Jacob Edson in the white number 6, a great drive yesterday, was fourth in the ladder going and managed to come home with a podium finish using traffic to his advantage. And Scott Wellham, but the right tire down on that 82 Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo, and that's a long way to go to get back to pit lane. He's only about a third of the way into the lap.
Yeah, that's disappointing for Scott Wellham. He's had a disappointing start to this race. He's been a regular contender this season. This is his first year in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo. And he's driving for the Change Racing team and representing, as does everybody in this race, the Charlotte dealership, or everybody represents a dealership in this race, and Scott Wellham is representing the Charlotte dealership, as indeed are all of the Change Racing entries in this race. Out front, though, it's Danny Formal for Wayne Taylor Racing. He represents the Paramus dealership in New Jersey, and that is the team that is currently vying for the lead in the dealer championship. They're currently running in the third position. It's Palm Beach that leads the way at the moment in the dealer championship, ahead of Charlotte, with Paramus in third position.
And all of these championships important, certainly, to the drivers. The drivers' championship is what they focus on, but their team championships, dealership championships, as you mentioned, Jeremy, and every one of those is important. As a driver, you want to bring that team championship to your team. You want to bring a championship to the dealer that you represent. So a lot on the line for these drivers, and the championships just incredibly close right now. Antonucci able to pull out a few more points over Stephen McAleer with his win yesterday. McAleer coming home with a second place finish, he and Jerome Mull. And Brandon Godovic, Brian Ortiz extend their lead in the Pro-Am category, but in LB Cup and in AM, it is really tight. Only 3 points between Luke Berkeley and Alan Metney, who's not here for today's race, as you said. Ashton Harrison should move up in the points as well, but it's really the LB Cup championship that's so tight, Jeremy. Mark Kwame, Terry Olsen, just 1 point now separates them from Matt Dickon in second. Dickon is on a charge.
Yes, exactly right. And Terry Olsen currently running in the second position, though, behind John Hennessy right now. And he's ahead of Bart Collins in calendar four. Bart Collins is not in championship contention, despite winning for the first time yesterday. But right, and Terry Olsen in that second position over in this race. And if they can maintain that position, they could perhaps extend their lead again over Matt Dick, close to 1 point. Second place finish yesterday.
John Hennessy in that beautiful blue and gold 33, flashing down into the Andretti hairpin. He has had a great run as of late, trying to improve his position here today. And looking back down through the scoring pylon, and Hennessy with a good run going, leading in LB Cup. And like I said, he has been very strong as of late, really kind of the revelation when he came back to the series. He missed the two rounds at VIR and Watkins Glen, but when he returned to the series, he returned with a vengeance at Road America, sweeping the weekend there, and then a strong third place finish here yesterday, and now leads LB Cup. He can be a factor in this championship, Jeremy, because he's taking points away from the leaders up front.
Very much so, yes, that is exactly right. And yeah, that's what he wants to see. He's just after wins right now, having come back from that injury. He was super impressive in the most recent races at Road America. Swept the weekend there. He was on the pole position yesterday, but unfortunately he was one of the cars that was taken out in an incident early in the race yesterday. The best he could do was come back and finish in the third position then. So he's in the lead of that class now and looking to gain win number three on the season in that car number 33.
He had an injury from the beginning of the season, very first race at COTA, and then was out. But like I said, the rehabilitation that he did, and certainly I got to believe he must have been on a simulator or something, Jeremy, because he didn't miss a beat when he got back in the car.
He didn't, did he? Very, very impressive. And for somebody who has so little experience in driving racing cars, it's pretty remarkable. He was a commercial fisherman at one stage in his life, and then he ran a demolition business up in the Pacific Northwest, and he retired from that. And just 2 or 3 years ago, he started doing some track days. He got himself a nice car and figured he'd take it out on the racetrack and had some fun there. And then in 2019, he started racing BMW E46 M3 just in club races, and got the opportunity to drive one of these Lamborghinis and said, hey, this is serious fun. So he made his debut last season, and this year was planning on that full campaign. And unfortunately, until that injury sustained in the first event of the season, but he's now showing his true pace. That's John Hennessy in car number 33. He drives for the Ogara Motorsports US Racetronics team, and he represents the San Diego dealership.
Who else is having a good run? Nelson Piquet Jr. in fourth right now. Jerome Mull trying to get around him in that light blue number 16 Bud Light entry. And Piquet returns to the series after missing a couple of races. And he and his Ansa Motorsports team doing a lot of work. And the cars really hooked up this weekend. Piquet Jr. having a good run. Seems to have a much better mount underneath him than the last time that we saw him in Lamborghini Super Trofeo, which was back at Watkins Glen.
Yeah, and we just got a glimpse of the car number 8. That's Patrick Liddy, who slipped down to 7th position at the moment, but still leading in the Pro-Am class. He's driving that car this weekend, the number 8 car with Mel Johnson, who has stepped up from the LB Cup class in which he usually runs. So Patrick Liddy has more experience in these cars. A very, very talented young man, just 24 years of age, from Pasadena, California. He has a degree in political science and philosophy, which he gained from the UC Santa Barbara, so just down the coast from here. So a local race for Patrick Liddy, and giving a very, very good account of himself in that very brightly liveried car number 8 for, again, the US Racetronics Ogara Motorsport team.
Well, and you think about several of these teams, Jeremy, fielding cars throughout the four different classes that are in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America, and that's always a positive. If you're running in a Pro-Am class or an AM class or LB Cup and you've got a pro car underneath your tent, you've got that data to pull from, that information from those more experienced drivers to utilize, and I think that is a huge help to several of these drivers who have that advantage of having multiple cars under the tent.
Well, it really is. And there's a look at another youngster here is Jordan Misick in car number 53. He is from the Chicago area. He is driving also for the Wayne Taylor Racing team. He is running in the Pro-Am class from Joliet, Illinois. And he has had a couple of fourth place finishes so far in his rookie season at this level, just 23 years of age. But right behind him is that number 51. That is the car for MCR Racing. Loris Spinelli driving that Italian liveried car, the red, white and green car. He started at the back of the field. Loris Spinelli, hugely experienced in these Lamborghinis, sharing that car this weekend, as usual, with Claude Signoretti from Brazil. Unfortunately, with the crash yesterday in qualifying, did not start yesterday's race. But every other race this season, Loris Spinelli has set the fastest overall lap in the race, which is pretty remarkable. Running in the Pro-Am class, because Claude Signoretti is an Am, very much so, but Loris is very much a pro, and now right onto the tail of Jordan Misick as they head down towards the Mario Andretti hairpin.
And Misick in that 63, or 53, I should say, right behind the 61 of Max Wiering, and now 51, Spinelli really putting pressure on Misick as they head into turn three. And for Jordan Misick, he needs to understand he is the sole driver in that car, will be coming up to the pit stop window here before long, and he needs to understand he's the only driver in that car. And when Claude Signoretti takes over the wheel from Loris Spinelli in the 51, there's going to be a difference in driving experience there. So know who you're racing with, know who's behind the wheel, and you can know how to race that car in front of you. And for right now, Jordan Misick, he wants to get by the pro entry of Max Wiering, the gold and black 61 just in front, but it's a different class car, and you can't risk too much to get by. Even though they're four different classes, Jeremy, all of these cars throughout the four classes are exactly the same.
They are indeed, and they are very impressive beasts indeed. Whoops, there's a spin there for Jordan Misick coming down the hill at turn 9. Just that car just spun around so quickly, didn't it? It's a very fast corner, is turn 9. The left-hander coming down the hill. You've got to be totally committed to that corner. If you get offline just a little bit, it's very, very slippery offline. And perhaps that's what Jordan Misick did. And around he goes for a quick spin and resumes.
As he comes down through the apex, he's just off of the apex. And I think as he tries to tighten his hands, Jeremy, and perhaps come off the throttle a little bit, it moves weight to the front of the car with that little breathe. The front tires tighten, and it gives it that grip when he comes off the throttle, and it plants the nose, and around she goes quicker than you can imagine. That's what we saw as he came down through turn 9. Unfortunate mistake there for Jordan Misick, but he's got time to recover. This is a young driver who's adapting well to GT-based cars. He's a regular in the Formula Regional Series, which is an F3-based car if you follow international open-wheel racing. does a good job there. So adapting back and forth between open wheel and this Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo is a big deal. He actually swept the weekend in Lamborghini Super Trofeo at Road America. So he's coming to grips literally with these cars. Just ran out of grip that time in turn nine.
He did, and these cars do have a lot of horsepower. It's pretty slick out there. There's not a lot of grip on this racetrack. Coming down the hill, it's a real handful in this sort of a car. So he's going to resume for that. He is able to continue a little bit further back down the order. But meanwhile, out front, Danny Formale is making himself scarce, and Jacob Edson now has his hands full trying to stay ahead of Richard Antonucci. You know, another factor all of these drivers have got to bear in mind is the fact that you talked about earlier on, the final two rounds of this championship of Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America are actually part of the World Finals, which will take place at Misano Adriatico in Italy the end of next month. But the cars need to leave on a boat to get over to Italy next week. So these teams, they want their cars. The primary goal at the end of this race this afternoon is, or this morning, is to have all these cars in one piece so they don't have to be rebuilding them before they all take off for Italy.
Well, that's an excellent point. You don't have a lot of time to do a lot of work if you tear one up, and we certainly saw damage yesterday. Danny Formale doing some damage to the field. You talked about it. About a three-second lead now, and we saw this, how important this is yesterday, Jeremy. Let's talk pit stops for a second. One driver formats like Richard Antonucci will have to spend an additional 3 seconds on pit lane. Two driver formats, 3 seconds short of that. And what we saw yesterday was Richard Antonucci come in to the pits with less than a 3 second lead on the number 16 of Stephen McAleer. But somehow the pit stop didn't go so well for the number 16. And the cars left pit lane the way they came in. If indeed the 16 team had been able to effect a perfect pit stop, in theory, they should have leapt past the 27 on the pit stop. It did not happen. So when you start looking at leads and you think, how much tire do I want to use to extend this gap, you want some safety margin as you come in for the pit stops, I believe.
Yeah, indeed. Jacob Edson just held up just a little bit coming out of Marandretti hairpin. That gave Antonucci the opportunity to get alongside into turn three. Pass made. Antonucci up now into second place.
Well, and that's exactly what Jacob Edson did yesterday to get onto the podium on the last lap in the final corner of the race. He used traffic to his advantage. It worked for him yesterday, and it bit him squarely today as Antonucci by, and I think he may now begin to check out just a little bit. Perhaps he had the faster car than Jacob Edson had, just could not find a way by, but he's used traffic as a pick.
He has, and Danny Formale is doing just a super job. There's a spin there for Tom Kerr. He's running toward the back of the field for Kelly Moss Roden Racing, car number 74. He is from Tampa, Florida, but he's representing the San Francisco dealership. So the one of the local dealerships here in California for Lamborghinis. Looks like there's no damage to that car, so he's able to continue, as is Danny Formale, who has set the fastest lap of the race. A 126.8 was his fastest lap. That was back on lap five. We're now 12 laps completed by Danny Formale, and his last lap round was a 128.1. He's lapping super consistently, high 27s, low 28s, and he's got a pretty comfortable lead of about three and a half seconds now over Richard Antonucci in second place. You talked about the pit stop window, Brian. It's open any time from 20 minutes into the race until 20 minutes before the end of the race. So there's a 10-minute window between 20 and 30 minutes into this 50-minute event, and that pit stop window will open in less than 2 minutes' time.
And big news in championship from a pro standpoint, the number 16, Jerome Moule, has gotten past Nelson Piquet Jr. in that bright red and silver number 3 from Ansa Motorsports and Lamborghini Broward. And that's big because he's beginning to close down on Richard Antonucci now. He still has a ways to go. He needs to get past Dario Capitano and Jacob Edson. But that battle had been raging with Piquet Jr. for several laps, and I think perhaps Moule had the faster car, and again, traffic coming into play, a little contact between the 8 of Patrick Liddy. That slides Piquet Jr. out wide and allows Jerome Moule to get the run up and through, and Liddy got by both of those cars, both the 16 and the 3.
Yeah, a bit of perhaps a little bit of panel damage on one or other of those cars. That was a very forceful move at the Mario Andretti hairpin, but they've sorted themselves out. Nelson Piquet, though, the big loser there, he's dropped a couple of positions. Dario Capitano now finds himself in the second of the Bitbull cars in fourth position. That's teammate to Richard Antonucci, who runs second right now. And behind Capitano is Patrick Liddy, and then Juran Moule down into the sixth position.
And we were talking about knowing who you're racing with. Patrick Liddy in the Pro-Am category, Juran Moule in the Pro category, shows just how good Liddy is. But for Juran Moule, he needs to kind of think about the fact that the 8 doesn't really exist on the racetrack for points. If he can run faster, that's fine. If he's holding you up, that's an issue. But right now, Juran Moule may be able to use Patrick Liddy as a pick to get through traffic, to help him through so he can move to the front. The problem that I see is the purple number 22 just ahead. That is Richard Antonucci's teammate. And Juran Moule is going to want to get by to kind of keep his charge going to the front. That may be a problem getting past the teammate of Dario Capitano.
It is. And the pit stop window is now open. So we are 20 minutes into this race. And the first to take advantage of it is our race leader, Danny Formal. Richard Antonucci follows him into the pits as well. And a little bit surprised that Danny Formal would come in. He was extending his lead at the front there, but the Wayne Taylor Racing Team has brought him in. He will hand over that car to the very equally talented Canadian driver Kyle Marcelli, and they will be looking for another strong result here. They finished third yesterday, but they're certainly in prime position at the moment. And with the fact that they are sharing that car, and as you talked about, Brian, Richard Antonucci's pit stop has to be 3 seconds longer. That should extend that advantage for car number one, theoretically.
And it was interesting. In talking to Kyle Marcelli yesterday, he said Danny Formal is actually better on used tires than I am. So the way the driver pairing has rotated between race one and race two on the weekend, Kyle Marcelli, who was magic yesterday in the number one, is going to have those used tires. WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, known for tire degradation because of the aggregate used in the race surface here and because the surface has been aged for several years, 2007, the last year that it was repaved. Those Pirelli tires on the number one are going to have some wear in them. And for Kyle Marcelli, I think that's the difficult thing, Jeremy. You got to go out and run, but you know that you still have almost a half an hour of running time left. You can't slide the car in the beginning of your stint. You've got to go out and be very gentle with it so that you can make sure you've got tires at the end. And that's the difficult thing about this racetrack. Don't lay it all on the line now, because you're not going to like what you have in the last 5 or 10 minutes of the race if you do.
That's a very good point. And there is our LB Cup leader, John Hennessy, making his mandatory pit stop as well. Out in the lead of the race now, having not yet stopped, is Patrick Liddy. He's got an advantage of about 3 seconds over Loris Spinelli. Alec Udell, who had to start at the back of the field, is running third ahead of Max Wearing and Randy Solari. There goes John Hennessy, having completed his stop. And here is car number 8, Patrick Liddy. He's completed 15 laps now. His last lap time was a 1:28. At 0.295, and he's able to maintain that gap he closed a little bit to Loris Spinelli, but not very much. And Patrick Liddy is doing a fine job in the lead, overall lead of this race, and he's going to stay out as long as he possibly can before he hands that car over to his co-driver John Melson.
Yeah, as we go through this pit stop window, the order will cycle through, and timing and scoring looks a little bit confusing for 5 or 10 minutes or so until everyone has pitted and the order becomes resettled. Liddy out in front right now. I would expect to see the number one of Kyle Marcelli once all the pit stops are done out in front. The question will be, what type of a lead does Marcelli have over Richard Antonucci when it all settles down? He came into the pit stop with just over 3 seconds in hand, and in theory should have gotten out of the pits, if everything was perfect on the stop, 3 seconds quicker than Richard Antonucci, and that is by the rules. So you'd be looking at something over 6 seconds. Now, obviously, traffic is going to have something to say about that as well. It's going to be interesting to watch what the gap is after a lap or two, Jeremy, when they come down the front straightaway and see what Antonucci has been able to do with Kyle Marcelli.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the timing will show that next time they come around the start finish line. Certainly the advantage it was with Kyle Marcelli and should be, as you say, be extended. The gap as they came past last time was about 4 seconds. So it was extended by about a second since before they came into the pits, perhaps not quite as much so as one might have anticipated. This fast final portion of the race is going to be really interesting.
Well, and WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca is a difficult racetrack to pass on because of the low grip situation that's here. And really, because of the performance of these race cars, modern race cars, so quick around here, brake zones very short when you've got anti-lock braking systems to help you in these low grip situations. And so getting alongside someone and getting a pass done can be difficult. Little debris now down in the Andretti hairpin in the brake zone. Drivers will have to be aware of that. Did see a couple of cut tires yesterday because of debris. We had a mirror yesterday. It may be a mirror again today, Jeremy.
Yeah, could be some close contact out there on the racetrack. And now the gap between first and second is down to just 1.5 seconds. So Lawrence Spinelli has halved that gap over the course of these last couple of laps to Patrick Liddy, who still leads. He was 0.7 of a second quicker on that last lap, and indeed on each of the last two laps, but still he hasn't set the fastest lap of the race. That route still honor still remains with Danny Fulmaal from that opening stint of this race in car number one. So perhaps Laurie Spinelli's streak is finally going to be broken.
Well, and interesting as well, I got a look at Mark Kwame, who seemed to be running off the pace a little bit in the number 47. He and Terry Olson share that car. They lead the championship in LB Cup, second on the racetrack right now to John Hennessy, but they seem to be falling down the order, so I don't know if there's a problem with the 47. And we talk about the gap between Kyle Marcelli and Richard Antonucci. It was just over 4.5 seconds the last time they came by the line, so we will keep an eye on that and see how things close down. And in the pro category, Stephen McAleer looks like on the stops has gotten past the 22 of Dario Capitano. So McAleer now up to fourth. He'll have to chase down Stephen Agacani to see if he can get onto the podium and onto that rear wing of the number 27 of Richard Antonucci. See if he can get by him before the checkered flag and close down on the championship lead.
At the top of the corkscrew, there's a spin.
That was the problem.
Ah, right.
When I saw Mark Kwame off the pace, it was when he was recovering from that spin and heading down the hill. So Kwame with a little spin there. If you've never been to WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, first of all, you should come out here, certainly, for an IMSA weekend. You can see all kinds of racing. And for Kwame, he's got to try to recover as the leader goes through, whom we assume will be the leader after pit stops. And he gets held up a little bit. But that is about a 10-story drop from the top of the corkscrew down to turn 11. And I can tell you, at the turn-in point for the corkscrew, when you turn left, you see nothing. Absolutely nothing. Literally, the world falls out from underneath you and is quite exhilarating to drive, that's for sure. But even to stand at the exit of the corkscrew and watch back up the racetrack, Jeremy, you and I both have done it for years. It's just a really awe-inspiring shot and sight.
Yeah, it is fantastic, isn't it? And pit stops now, then, with the pit stop window about to close, just 2 minutes away. And Laura Spinelli thought about diving down the inside, that sharp left-hand elbow going into the pit lane, decided that not to. So those two leaders now are onto pit lane. The 51 car and number 8, 19 laps completed before, or almost completed, because the start-finish line is actually past where they have stopped in their pit lane. But they've completed 19 laps. And there will be driver changes in each of those cars. Patrick Liddy will hand over the car number 8 to Mel Johnson, who lives in San Juan Capistrano, California, originally from the UK. And Laurie Spinelli will hand over the car to the Brazilian Claude Senioretti. That's car number 51.
It requires so much discipline on these stops because they are time stops. And the time starts at pit in and finishes his pit out as Ashton Harrison has a problem in her number 25. That car stopped on track, facing the wrong direction, obviously. And a little bit of flame out of the back. That is not at all uncommon. A lot of raw fuel gets dumped into the exhaust system, the hot exhaust system, while the driver's trying to get that engine refired, and that raw fuel will light off, but it goes out once the engine is refired. It literally gets blown out because of the exhaust. But Ashton Harrison with a problem there, and her Harrison contracting with Wayne Taylor Racing entry, Lamborghini Paramus. At the top of the screen, she just loses that rear end coming off the corner, and this is what we were talking about. Even with traction control, as advanced as these cars are, with that little grip, physics is physics, Jeremy, and traction control can help you, but it's not going to save you if you overstep the bounds of physics.
No, it's certainly not. And Ashton, she was once again doing a nice job in the second position there behind Luke Berkeley. Both of those two have already made their mandatory pit stops and are looking good from there. But that spin is going to cost her a lot of time. She's going to fall back into the grips, perhaps, of Randy Solari, who has just completed his pit stop. He was one of the last to come into the pits to take on his mandatory stop.
And the pit window now closed. Everyone has been in. The leader, Kyle Marcelli, now has timing and scoring cycles through, shown up front over Richard Antonucci, 4.4 seconds at the line the last time by. We'll see if Antonucci has been able to close or if Kyle Marcelli has been able to extend.
He's actually been able to extend at each after the last three laps. Carmen has been a little bit quicker than Richard Antonucci, but for Antonucci, that's fine. If he can maintain second position here overall and in the pro class, that will be enough to extend his advantage in the championship over Stephen McAleer, who currently is running in the fourth position in the class, and he's about 16 seconds behind the race leader. So he's under pressure, is McAleer, from Dario Capitano, who's Antonucci's teammate. But for Antonucci right now, everything going pretty much according to plan. Don't throw it away and risk losing those second place points.
So Marcelli out in front, able to gather up another couple of seconds that time by as the 23 Luke Berkeley slides wide into the Andretti hairpin. The 48 goes by Alec Udell. And Berkeley, so impressive, 17 years old, and really had never driven a race car on a track until last year and just did some testing in an F4 car, but has just come to life behind the wheel of this 23 in his first year of racing. And it's one of those things where Dream Racing owner Enrico Bertaggia just said he is a fine young man. And Enrico and I talked about him a lot on the phone, and I had a chance to sit down with Luke Berkeley this weekend and his family, and what a cool kid, just really, really mature beyond his years. And it shows both out of the car and in the car. And when we had that conversation, he said, I know I need to be the complete package. I need to work on myself, my driving ability in the car, and I have to work on understanding the business of motorsports outside the car if I want to move on. Pretty impressive young kid.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? And he's got a big future ahead of him. And he's kind of lucky to be to classified, I think, in the AM class at the moment, because most of the other kids are starting out in the sport or up in the pro-ams. But, hey, look, he's taking advantage of that. And, you know, he's learning very, very quickly. He doesn't have, unlike some of the other drivers, for example, Jordan Missig, as you said, he's competing in other series as well in the open wheel ranks. Luke Berkeley is just concentrating on this and doing a very, very nice job, gaining experience, gaining speed, and they're getting closer and closer toward the front as well. A bit further back down the pack, there's Stephen McAleer in that Bud Light car number 16, driving for Change Racing and for the Charlotte dealership. He's got his hands really full, hasn't he, with Dario Capitano, the young Italian who's chasing him for all he is worth in that number 27 car.
Absolutely, and for Richard Antonucci, he wants that battle as Capitano shoves it in aggressively at the hairpin, side to side, banging wheels. Stephen McAleer not afraid to do that. And that was an aggressive late move by Capitano, and McAleer having nothing of it. Good stuff. Now McAleer pinned behind the 36. He wants past that car. He wants to try to get another car or two between himself and Dario Capitano. I think McAleer on the back foot just a little bit. And hats off to Change Racing, Jerome Moule, Stephen McAleer. Take a look at this up in the corkscrew. Capitanio side by side, and McAleer said, "We're going to go through here side by side. I'm not going to just hand this to you."
Hey, look, McAleer, he comes from the School of Hard Knocks, doesn't he? He's from Glasgow in Scotland originally. He came over here as a youngster. He raced with the Skip Barber Racing School and won their championship, moved on up the ladder. He's won championships in IMSA before in the Pilot Challenge Series. And he's a very, very talented driver. He drives all sorts of different cars. He's won races in all sorts of different categories. You're not going to push Stephen McAleer around, I can tell you that.
No, not at all. Signoretti with a problem in turn 11, the 74. Stranded on the side of the racetrack, Tom Kerr. He had a problem with turn 5 earlier in the day, and another problem there as he sits there. And we were talking about Stephen McAleer. Let's take a look at the problem for Signoretti. There it is. Just gets on the throttle a little too early, coming off of turn 11, slowest corner on the racetrack, and around he goes. And now Kyle Marcelli having to work his way around the 74, and that's when Tom Kerr just loses it. And for the leader, you think you've got this 6-plus-second lead and you've got everything in hand, but a moment like that can take your breath away, and if you don't read it right, it can take your race away.
Yeah, and that's not what you want at this stage in the game. There's another revolution there for Tom Kerr, who's having an exciting day. I think that's turn 6. That's an interesting place to spin. It's a very, very fast corner. Total commitment required in that corner. It's blind. You cannot see the apex of the corner as you turn in. It's over a little bit of a brow, and it's a very, very fast corner indeed. And when you spin there, you generally get, particularly if you spin to the inside of the road, you're generally going to hit something. So Tom Kerr's done a really good job not to do so.
Signoretti back underway. No harm, no foul for Kyle Marcelli. And this battle continues between McAleer and Dario Capitanio. This is coming down into turn 10 out of the corkscrew, still beating and banging wheels. And McAleer saying, "You're going to have to get further by me before I hand you this position." They are playing rough in Lamborghini Super Trofeo here. Stephen McAleer, Dario Capitanio. And I was saying earlier, hats off to the Change Racing guys. McAleer, Jerome Mule, they've driven 5 different chassis this year throughout the different weekends. Kota, VIR, Watkins Glen, Road America, and now here. 5 chassis and 5 weekends, and it's all good because they've been using cars that have been loaned to them from other teams, and if the team owners have a problem with their primary car, they come get the car back from Change Racing that they loaned them. And so, in reality, Jerome Stephen McAleer arrived at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, walked up to the tent. They didn't have a car. It had been taken back by the car owner because they needed a car for the weekend. So they managed to find one, Justin Price, not because of protocol. This car for the weekend. But we talked about this. The same? They're not the same. Everyone's different. Got a brand that you like, you know that you can't just go buy that shoe from that brand and it's going to fit just like the other one, and the race cars are the same way. So think exactly who's run all season long, second in the championship, same car one weekend to the next.
In the meantime, Kyle Marcelli continuing on his merry way at the front of the field. He's maintaining that gap back to Richard Antonucci. It's around about 6 seconds, 6.2 as he comes across the line. That time of 1:28.2, which is a little bit quicker than his previous two laps. But 12 minutes remaining in this race. It's been an absolutely perfect drive so far for that number one team for Wayne Taylor Racing and the Paramus dealership. Danny Formal started off the race, led through to the round of pit stops, which began after 14 laps. Since then, Carl Marcelli has taken over at the front, and Richard Antonucci in car number 27, that built bull car for Dream Racing Motorsport, representing the Las Vegas Lamborghini dealership, running in second position, and a very lonely second place right now, because Stephen Argacani is dropping way, way back in third position. He's dropping a lot of ground pretty rapidly to the race leaders, but he's still maintaining his possession. With that battle going on between McAleer and Capitanio, that is allowing Stephen Argacani to cement, he hopes, that third position. But Richard Antonucci, the championship leader, still out in second position. He's going to chase Carl Marcelli for every minute remaining in this race.
Well, and you think about it too, Jeremy, all of these drivers in the pro category experienced, and go back to that championship mindset. For Danny Vermaal, Kyle Marcelli, they are not in it for the championship. They're in it for race wins. Their championship totals were dashed earlier in the season. So right now it's all about learning and getting experience for next year to return to the Lamborghini Super Trofeo, which certainly we hope they do. But it's about putting up race wins and making stars on your resume, so to speak, so you can hand it to the next team. But for Richard Antonucci, 6.7 seconds back the last time by, he sees two spots in front of his nearest competitor in the championship. So this may have to do today. Don't take any unnecessary risks. Don't do anything stupid, and you'll continue to pull away. Stephen Agacani, really, the same thing. He knows he's got a podium position right now. I'm sure on the radio they're saying, McAleer and Capitano are pulling that at tooth and nail. Drive your pace now. Don't let that day, and we'll move on to Misano.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, coming into this weekend, Antonucci had a 5-point lead over Stephen McAleer, another 4-point lead over Agacani and Edson. So the gap with the win yesterday, Antonucci has extended his lead now to 11 points over 9 points over Stephen McAleer. 10 points further back are Stephen Agacani and Jacob Edson. So if Edson and Agacani can, if they all maintain these positions here, Antonucci is going to extend his lead, and the gap between McAleer in second and Agacani and Edson in third is going to drop by another couple of points. So it's still very much game on between those three contenders as they head to Misano for those world finals in the end of October.
Absolutely, as the four slides out of the way and allows faster cars to go through. That was Michael Minella in the four. He and Bart Collins celebrated the win yesterday in LB Cup. Today, it's John Hennessy in the 33 out in front. We talked about how strong he has been since his return. And there, was there contact that initiated that, or did Minella do that on his own with the pressure coming from behind?
Yeah, good question. And the number four car and number 47 have been kind of battling away, and as they have been, as they were for a while yesterday as well. But John Hennessy is out in the lead in the LB Cup class. So Mark Kouame now, despite that spin earlier on, is back up into second place now with that spin for Michael Minella, the race winner yesterday, along with his co-driver Bart Collins. And Matt Dickin, who is chasing Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen in the championship, just 1 point behind, remember, coming into today's race. He's running in third position now, so he will lose a couple of points to Kouame and Olsen if it remains the same as it is right now, with just over 7.5 minutes to go in this 50-minute race.
But think about that, Jeremy. Right now, Mark Kouame is in second, Matt Dickin in third. There's only 2 points between second place points and third place points. So even when you're finishing in front of him, you're not really getting away. He's only got a 1 point lead right now, and it would extend. It's going to be so tight all the way to the end.
It is going to be tight, and it's super to see those championships. I mean, it's been a great year for the Lamborghini Super Trofeo. Record sizes of fields. I mean, these are serious race cars, and everybody loves driving them. There's going to be a new evolution of the Huracan Inn for next season, and they've already had an insane amount of inquiries, I gather, for those new cars. And this championship is just it's growing by leaps and bounds, and it's not hard to see why. I mean, the cars are fantastic. They are, and the level of competition is extremely high.
Well, and the numbers and the attendance and participation in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America this year has been greater than it ever has been. It matches the European Series and on pace to exceed the European Series next year. As you said, Jeremy, with the new car coming, the interest in this series is doing nothing but growing. And we see that with the talent level of the drivers who are entering this series. And for drivers like young Luke Berkley, who say, No. I'm going to apply my trade as a sports car driver, and this is a great place to do it. It's a great place to learn. And I think some of that is the ability, and you and I talked about this at the very beginning of today's race, the ability to have other cars underneath your tent that you can learn from that are in other classes. A lot of times when you have other cars under your tent that are running with you, I'm not sure the drivers are always 100% open as to what it is that they're doing to help their teammate go a little bit quicker, especially if you're racing that teammate in your own championship.
Yes. The level of cooperation can come down dramatically. Super battle going on, by the way, for the sixth position with Nelson Piquet Jr. just holding on ahead of Brian Ortiz, who leads the Pro-Am class, and Alec Udell is in that fight. Actually, I think Ortiz just got past Nelson Piquet Jr. Maybe they've traded places again. But there's all sorts of great battles going on in this field. And it is good to see, and with different classes as well. We've got five pro cars out in front at the moment. In sixth position is the best of the pro-am cars. The best of the am contenders is Luke Berkeley in that car number 23. He's running pretty much on his own. No, he isn't at the moment. Actually, he's got Sergio Jimenez, the pro car, closing in on him. That is for ninth and tenth positions.
Well, as that battle heads up through turns five and six, Kyle Marcelli across the line into the Andretti hairpin with under 5 minutes to go. And Luke Berkeley has that pressure coming from behind by the 44 of Jimenez, but he's got to understand again, and that's what's so difficult. You got to know who you're racing with, and you have to kind of take your ego, which race car drivers have been known to have. You got to kind of take that ego and set it aside and say, I'm not going to risk a win in my class to do battle with someone who's not in my class. You've got to be smart. You've got to think ahead. You've got to leave kind of emotion out of it, even though emotion is a big part of this game.
Yeah, it is. And for Richard Antonucci, he's been around the sport a long, long time. He's running there in that second position right now, completely on his own. There's no one. He's fallen all of a sudden more than 11 seconds behind Carmar. So not quite sure. About two or three laps ago, all of a sudden, he lost a lot of time. Don't know whether that was with traffic or whether he had some sort of incident with one of the lap cars. Behind him, that white car with the green and red headlights, that's Stephen Argacani, who is kind of cruising around. He's a long way off the pace that we would normally expect this car to be running, but he's out there in the third position, and again, he's not really under pressure either, because he remains 5 seconds clear of Stephen McAleer, who after that long battle with Dario Capitano has pretty much assured himself in the seat now, with just 3 minutes remaining of that fourth position. But for Stephen Argacani and Jacob Edson, his co-driver, it's been a big week for Edson. He passed his flying to test last week, so he now has a private pilot's license to go along with those of his, both of his parents are professional pilots, and his two sisters also have their private pilot's license. One of them is a professional pilot, the other one needs to be a doctor.
I think there's a lot of IQ in that family as well, so it's one of those deals where you think about it, and I said this yesterday when you and I were talking. I'm a pilot, and I think a lot of race car drivers find airplanes fascinating, and a lot of pilots find race cars fascinating. There are a lot of the theories and science behind what makes aerodynamics work, obviously, are applicable across both of those professions and or sports, whatever you would like to call it, and so it's not at all uncommon. Good to see that. For Stephen McAleer, he's got to be frustrated. He's up to fourth now. But as we talked about the challenges of their season, it's just it's always close, but it just doesn't seem to be enough for them. They've got a victory on the season, and you go back to COTA and took the victory there in the second race at COTA and have not been back to the top step in victory lane since then, but they've got several podium finishes, second in the championship, but he just can't seem to be close enough. And you've got to think that consistency with the chassis has a lot to do with that. They are fighting an uphill battle every time they show up at a racetrack. Now it's a downhill run for Dario Capitano, rounding out the top five in the pro category right now in his number 22 purple Pitbull entry. identical lip sync to Richard Antonucci's.
Yeah, that's right. Two teammates from the Dream Racing Motorsport team and representing Lamborghini inside a minute and 10 seconds remaining in this race. I think it'll be white flag this time around for Kyle Marcelli, serenely running out front, running nice consistent lap times in a 1:28 second bracket. The fastest lap of the race was a 1:26.81. That was set by his co-driver, Danny Formal, in the early stages of this race. But since the pit stops, Kyle Marcelli has been able to control the pace at the front of the field. They had a dominant weekend last time out at Road America. Had some difficulties yesterday, but it's been another emphatic performance by that number one team today.
And it's interesting when you look at Danny Formal and Kyle Marcelli as a problem for the four. That's not Nelson Piquet Jr. I'm sorry. It was the red car that kind of took my attention away. It was Michael Minella in the number four. And now the white flag waves for Marcelli. I was saying, you look at their season, he and Danny Formal expected big things, a fifth in the first round at COTA, followed it up with two podium finishes at COTA and then VIR, another top five run at VIR, and then the huge problem at Watkins Glen, huge crash in race one, didn't make race two. All of a sudden, their season championship hopes were dashed, and they hadn't been really getting all out of the car that they thought they should. The car was rebuilt, showed up at Road America, and they were dominant all weekend long, Jeremy, winning both races there, and then have been so strong here this weekend on the front row for both races at the start, and they could come home with a victory here today.
Yeah, and it's just been the perfect performance by this team. There's another spinner there. Was that Matt Dickin?
I think it was.
Who was running in a third position in LB Cup. We just saw the fourth place car, Michael Minella, off the road coming down. Oh, it's Tom Kerr again.
Tom Kerr again. Same plate.
He's had a busy time. Yeah, to spin twice at turn six, not hit anything. Hats off, Tom. Nice job.
You've been living right. And speaking of living right, Kyle Marcelli, Danny Formal, what a turnaround it has been when you look at Watkins Glen and everything that they have done since then in that number one prestige performance with Wayne Taylor Racing Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo. They will take the victory. Lamborghini Paramus will celebrate a dealer victory. And what a march, as we said, for Kyle Marcelli and Danny Formal. Ever since they returned to the series at Road America, they have been on the podium, and three of the four times it's been the top step. Three other classes yet to see the checkered flag. Brian Ortiz leading in the 46 in Pro-Am. They should take another victory there in the 46. He and Brandon Godovic and extend their championship lead. Luke Berkeley in the 23. He has had a great run all weekend long. And again, we talk about how impressive the youngster is. There is Ortiz onto the front straightaway looking for the checkered flag. He and his teammate Brandon Godovic have seen it before this year. They'll see it again this time at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Five victories on the season for the 46. Checker flag continuing to wave over the other classes. We talked about Luke Berkeley in the 23. He'll take home another victory in the AM category. And with Alan Metney not being here because of other commitments, the championship complexion has changed. And Ashton Harrison, another top competitor in that category with a problem today. So Berkeley will extend his points lead. And John Hennessy in the 33, that beautiful blue and gold 33, celebrates the victory in LB Cup. We talked about him being absent from the series after an injury from the first round at COTA, and he has returned in storming fashion and has been on the podium and the top step, and he will return to the top step today. But Kyle Marcelli said, hey, Danny Formal is better on used Pirellis than I am, but Jeremy, I didn't see him put a wheel wrong here in the final going.
Yeah, absolutely tremendous performance by those two drivers, by that entire team, and the prestige performance dealership there, Paramus. Look, Richard Antonucci will extend his championship lead. 117 points he will now have over the 104 of Stephen McAleer, 96 for Stephen Argakani and Jacob Edson. And now just 3 points behind them with that third win out of the last four races. will be Carl Marcelli and Danny Formal. In Pro-Am, Brandon Godovic and Brian Lutiers will extend their lead with another win. Ditto in Am with Luke Berkeley winning again today, his third win in a row in that class. In the Lamborghini Cup, it could not be any closer. With that spin for Mark Kouame in the later stages of this race, Matt Dickin finished in the second place behind a dominant John Hennessy. And as a result of that, Matt Dickin will have 113 points to the 112 of Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen. Just two races remaining.
Championship still so close. Take a look at the unofficial results. Kyle Marcelli, Danny Formal out in front in the pro category. Richard Antonucci doing exactly what he needed to do to extend his points lead on Stephen McAleer and Jerome Lull. McAleer brings the number 16 home in fourth in pro. In the Pro-Am category, Brian Ortiz, Brandon Godovic, they're going to extend their championship lead with another victory here today over Jordan Missick, who had a good run but some problems. Mel Johnson and Patrick Liddy in there as well in Pro-Am. In Am, Luke Berkeley, the 17-year-old from Florida, continuing to impress there in front of Randy Solari in the 03 and Ashton Harrison after her problem. She still comes home with a podium finish. And in LB Cup, John Hennessy leading the way back on top over Matt Dickin. Dickin's going to hold on to the championship lead there with Mark Kouame and Terry Olsen coming in third. They round out the top three. So I think we might have a tie, or Matt Dickin may lead there in LB Cup. It's just that close. But that's what's great about Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American action. And now the final two rounds and the world final from Misano, Italy, in just a few weeks' time. These cars will go on a boat, head over to Italy, and the championships will be decided there. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Congratulations to all our winners. Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America, one of the most impressive single-make series in the world, and you can see why. You saw it right here from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Only with IMSA. Thanks for joining us, everyone. For Jeremy Shaw and Brian Till, we'll see you next time.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.